I'm inviting start short, live the fairs, graduate.
An artist named Olive Klug from the album Don't You Dare Make Me Jaded. That was a track called Out of Line, and that followed Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For? You're listening to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Robin.
And I'm Nat.
And we've been talking.
We've had a wide-ranging discussion around Bobby that has gone a lot of places.
Yes. We're sort of up on the whirlwind of popular culture, that, you know, where everything is all about Barbie,
and also Ursula Le Guin, which is not perhaps popular culture anymore, but maybe should be.
Yes, well, I think in some circles, yeah, Ursula
no,
Le Guin
she's,
is
she's
still,
definitely still very popular.
You know, but people, certain people, definitely keep their finger on her pulse, even though she is departed us now. But nevertheless, one of the things, and this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, and again, framing the fact that neither Nat or I have seen the movie, we're just going on hearsay and things that we've seen.
Hence our circuitous discussion around things that people who have seen the film have written about Bobby.
But this was posted, and again, I think came across my social media feed. And it's a quote from one of the characters, one of the Barbie characters in the movie. And I think it just is sort of framed up some of what you and I were talking about earlier in the show, where, you know, we grow up learning the stories about who we need to and want to become, and sometimes there's so much contradiction in what that story is that we don't know what direction to go in, because it feels like a rock and a hard place, and that that this particular Barbie says these words in the movie, I just thought was kind of apropos and spoke literally to that. So she says, "It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. We have to be thin, but not too thin, and you can never say you want to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, capital letters. But if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be part of the sisterhood. But always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but also be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory, and nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll just representing women, then I don't even know."
Yeah, that's, it's, encompasses a lot, I think.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Wow. And very well delivered as well. I'm not sure. I guess I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know the cadence of the original, but I'm just, I can't imagine it being said in a different way.
I feel these things viscerally, right? Mm. And so I think that regardless of maybe the woman who reads those words, it's going to be delivered in a way where you feel those words.
It can be said in a thousand voices for sure.
Because, yeah, how many times have we heard, even if it's not in those direct words, it's the sentiment of those words, or it's sort of an iteration of what that is supposed to mean, and you know, we're supposed to kind of wink wink, nudge nudge, know that we've how does she put it? You know, that we're out of line, or we're, you know, we've crossed the line there.
It's a very complex series of rules that is sort of supposed to be intuitive, except of course they're not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes that's a part of, even in a physical way, a lot of what Barbie the doll came up and comes up against, right? Because she was real in the way that, you know, she was full figured, you know, and had a bosom and hips and, you know, like long hair. And I was reading in the history of Barbie that the original Barbies had eyes that looked to the side and were more demure. And they changed that maybe in the 70s, maybe in the 80s, so that Barbie had a more straight ahead, more look you in the eye.
Steely kind of glare.
Yeah. And so I thought that was interesting, right? Where the sort of criticisms of that physicality that Barbie had then got changed or switched, and you know, the fact that she had other colored hair and she got other colored skin, you know, you could get her in all these different flavors, started to change the story a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And probably sell a lot more dolls as well.
Yeah, can't forget about capitalism in the whole mix of it all, right?
Those dolls don't come cheap.
No.
Well, they probably do, but...
Only at garage sales. Yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, what I just read was also lifted from another place, because I feel like I've read something or heard something that's really similar to that. And maybe it's just similar because the sentiment of it is kind of universal.
I think you said, you know, you can imagine this being expressed in not quite these words, but similar words in so many different circumstances, because it's a commonly shared feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, you know, a Byzantine and very oppressive network of rules that govern life.
Yes. Yes, it is. And so... so much of how we learn about those rules too, right, is through watching rather than actually listening to the words that are said to us, because those actions are way more impactful than the words that are said, you know?
I mean that's what play is, right? You know, it's... children don't play what they're told to. They play about what they see, you know? It's you know, reenacting the things they see adults doing in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I was never so excited to vacuum as I was when I was a 3-year-old, for instance. Now I don't want to vacuum ever at all. But back then, boy, it felt really adult.
It felt very boundary pushing.
Yeah, I was just, you know, thinking about how in the ways that, you know, I witnessed my parents, for instance, teaching me about gender roles. And, you know, my mom always saying, well, and my dad too, you know, you can grow up to be anything you want. But watching the nonverbal dance of very specifically outlined domestic lines and very sort of specific mindsets that limited what they actually believed could be achieved or not achieved based on, you know, who they were and the roles that they were supposed to play.
Yeah, the we rarely quite say what it is we actually do, you know.
Well, it's hard to pinpoint, because it's hard to see ourselves from the inside. And And I think that that's maybe one of the, and again, I haven't seen the movie, but maybe that's one of the things that is creating the excitement, is that Barbie's able to see herself from the inside, and that there's a lot more, I don't know, realistic interpretation of things, which seems kind of in a strangely, like, it seems strangely perverse to say that, but, you know, oftentimes I think when we can remove ourselves, and I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, cartoons and anime are kind of effective and popular, is that when it's non-human characters, they can get away with saying more things and being more ways than we can as humans, right? It allows us to step into that idea of play and what that expanded story might be in different and more profound ways.
Yeah, I mean, play is, it's a way of stepping out of yourself and doing something that looks like something but isn't that actual thing, you know? And so in doing so, it can really show you, I think, what the essence of what that thing is that you're playing at doing, you know, because it's kind of almost a deconstructive activity, right? And that's what so much of storytelling is. It really offers a way to talk about life, but in this kind of reflexive way, where it really allows you to think about your life in the words, in, you know, different words, even though it's, the actions are similar.
And such a feminine, energetic way of doing things, right? Where it's process oriented, it's that nature of creation, where the unknown and the uncertainty of what comes next is rampant, and terrifying, but also exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to spend the rest of the day playing with Barbies now.
I think that means the movie did its job.
And see what I can imagine myself into in the next iteration of my life. See if I can, you know,
play up a new
shed all of these old realities.
I mean, I think there's probably no better place to do it.
yeah. We are getting towards the end of the show. Just a few minutes left to go here. And I want to remind listeners, just in case you're new to the station and don't know that Democracy Now! Is on at 11 o'clock, but it does follow this program, and you should stay tuned and listen to that. As we sort of wrap up the meandering and waving discussion about, not about, but around Barbie. Final thoughts, takeaways, aha moments.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been good to talk about Barbie the doll, perhaps more than Barbie the movie, because, I mean, well, it's a movie about dolls, right? But there's so much dolls and play and that kind of things, really, it really shows you so much. And it's a really interesting way to look at the world and look at ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of world that we're making and giving for children to play out and figure out for themselves, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's been a wide-ranging but very interesting discussion that I hope everyone has been able to follow.
Yes, I will post the link to the article that you and I, Nat, referred to, the Carrier Bag Theory of Fiction by Ursula Le Guin, as it definitely was one of the things that started to sort of inform and twig my imagination about how we can think about the ways that you know, we engage in play and story, and you know what toys of all kinds can bring us. And I think, you know, as adults, even though we have our own kinds of toys, you know, we trade maybe dolls for kitchen appliances, or, you know, cars, or
cars, I think is a great example.
Exercise things, you know, bicycles and snowboards and things, but they're still toys nonetheless, right? And they still do have a framework that creates stories around them, and so yeah, I think in that way it's been kind of an interesting discussion for me, just to think about the ways that that we can kind of become cynical as adults, because, you know, toys are for kids, and but they can really teach us continually a lot about life and how we engage in the ways that we engage.
I mean, I think adults still play, and everyone plays, but you know, we're maybe a bit more reticent to say that's what we're doing, so we say it's a sport or it's a hobby or something like that, when really it's playing.
Right, yeah.
Which is fine and great.
But as adults, we're made to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, why it has to be something sort of serious or, you know,
productive,
generative, you know, that stacks up over time.
Yeah, there's got to be achievement. There's some kind of achievement model to the whole affair. Silliness.
So go out and play.
Yes. Thanks so much for listening. Next week on the show, very briefly, I think that I will be here with Pranjali, and she's interested in the ways that gender intersects with environmental security. So she sent me a bunch of material that I will need to beef up on, but it'll be a very differently flavored program, and I'm sure I will learn a lot in that. So do stay tuned, or, you know, tune in next week for a very different discussion, but one that proves to look interesting nonetheless. As I said, we will be back with you next week. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something